there is a phenomena that we find, especially in places where there are large numbers of Baalei Tshuva, of buyer's regret. Buyer's remorse, it's called buyer's remorse. Where people begin to wonder, people begin to wonder what substances they were taking when they made these commitments. And Baalei Tshuva oftentimes think that they are alone, and the truth is in that regard, many times they are, because many FFPs never even realize that God has anything to do with the process, that there's anything, relationship to God in the matter at all. What's that all about? Why does that happen? So, there's a Gemara, and I'm telling you, somebody says this on this Gemara, I'm telling you, I saw this, I did not make this up. There's a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Ches, that says, Godol hanahene miyagiyoy yoysim yireshamayim. A person who benefits from their own hard work is better than a God-fearing person. That strikes most of the commentaries as somebody who says bananas are better than Beethoven. What does one have to do with it? And you can't. Can a person not be a God-fearing person if they're making a living? What is a person who works hard is better than a God-fearing person? What's the relationship between the two? So all the commentaries ask the question. A lot of the commentaries speak about the fact that it refers to somebody who works on their own rather than being supported by somebody else. Not a popular interpretation these days. The Yarkater Geshuni brings two beautiful contradicting Werther. One he quotes from the Tzlach. Tzlach was authored by the Neidu Yehuda, who says that a person who enjoys their Yiddishkeit, who enjoys their mitzvahs, is much better than somebody who just does them out of fear. There's a famous saying, anti-Semitic saying, that a misnagid fears the Shulchan Aruch. A chassid fears God. So, he's saying here the same thing, that somebody who works, he's a nehenem igichap, he enjoys what he's doing, says gishmak, that's better than a yirei shemayim. I remember, you remember Uncle Aaron spoke here years ago, probably in the old shul, and was talking about he used to have a daily chavrusa with his son-in-law. And he got up here and he said, I'm not talking about pleasure in the Olam Haba. I'm talking about pleasure in this world. And it's geschmack. He enjoys it. Very good. I do have, my Uncle Aaron imitations are very good. He says, in contrast to that, he quotes the Anaf Yosef, who says exactly the opposite, that somebody who struggles is better than somebody who's got it. Because when you struggle and it doesn't come to you easy, you get far more credit and there's far more self-perfection going on. Whereas somebody who innately is a Yirei Shemayim, so, there's no challenge there. So you see two contrasting, two pshat that contrast one another.
Is that really possible for somebody not to struggle?
Yeah.
Is it possible
for something? For people who don't struggle. That has to do with nature. The Yuval Tanya talks about the person who has a Mara Levana, Mara Shchaya, that people whose nature, they're bookworms, right? People who can sit and learn for 18 hours a day, it takes nothing out of them. The disgusting people. Okay, so I want to tell you what the pshat that I saw in one of the classics, and I was not able to find it, but it's there. So I'll share with you a Degomach Nefrayim on this week's Parsha. And he addresses, in the middle of the Parsha, by Vayi Ben Tzaya, so the Torah records how Klal Yisrael traveled in the desert. The cloud used to rise, sometimes it would camp, and three times, no less than three times, in very close proximity, the Pesukim say, Al Pi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael, by the mouth of Hashem, Klal Yisrael travel, V'Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, and then Klal Yisrael camps by the word of Hashem. The next pasuk, it switches the order, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu. So we got it the first time. Why the necessity to repeat this concept three times? So he quotes, the Dagamach and Ephraim was the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. He quotes Rabbi Yehuda Leib Fistener, who says, on the Pasuk we say in the Shir Shal Yoyim, the Pasuk says, Hu yinalgenu almos, he will guide us, we combine those words, almos means as a child. Okay? Imagery time. Critical imagery. So he says, and this it's interesting because this mashal is quoted, I believe, by the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. He says it's like a lad, like a young child, a toddler, when his father is teaching him how to walk. So at first, the parent holds the child by the hand and practices walking, holding on to the child. Once the kid gets the hang of that, so you then stand the kid up and you take a step away and you put your hands out to the child to urge him to walk. As soon as the child succeeds at doing that, you take two steps back and then three steps back and then you disappear entirely. Now, you have to put yourself for a moment in the toddler's mind. What is with these retarded parents? A minute ago, you were holding my hand. Why are you... This is the reward I get for doing this? Is that you disappear on me? You go further away? What kind of reward is that? You clap and you scream and you're so excited when I took those steps. So how do you reward me? By moving further away. Put yourself in the mind of the child. Nonetheless, we've been doing this for at least 50, 60 years. Kids have been walking that long. So what's this about? Says Rabbi Yehuda Leib, Hu yinagenu, that the Rebbeinu Shalem conducts himself with us, Alama, is just like a parent conducts himself with his child. The minute we get it, the Rebbeinu Shalem distances himself and says to us, go get it on your own. This should not come to us as a surprise, because this, in essence, seasonally, is exactly what Yetzias Mitzrayim was about. Then Yimei HaSfira, and then going into Shavuos. So I'm point out, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear to Moshe Rabbeinu every time? He appears to him in a cloud. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose the imagery of a cloud? Because the lesson for us is to understand that it's not going to appear to us. The Rebbeinu Shalom is not going to appear to us in clarity. It's always going to be in La Ruffle. It's always going to be in the fogginess of the cloud. Says the Degel as follows. At the beginning of a person's Aveda, in his youth, there's great clarity, great purpose. He says that is called the times of katnus, of smallness, and godless, and greatness. And every person in life will go through numerous stages, clarity, fogginess. The Rebbeinu Shalom lets us see something and then says to us, go get it on your own. Other Svarim pointed out that it's like a lightning storm. There's a flash of lightning. We get to see something, and then all of a sudden it's pitch black, and you got to go find it on your own. And what the Aveda of the Yetzer Hara is to begin to make us question whether what we saw even was real. Maybe the whole thing was an illusion. Maybe there was no reality to it at all. Who said I ever really experienced a purpose, a connection, clarity? Says the Degamach and Ephraim that when a person comes to these levels of what he calls hastara, of concealment, umigageya alza, and the person yearns back, oy, if only I could feel what I felt when Shabbos was new, when Kashrus was new, when I was learning, the Kapitlach and Tilim, where David HaMelech talks about his youth, and he used to learn, and he used to delight in serving Hashem. He was an FFB. And nonetheless, he yearned for the days when he felt connected. He says, when a person feels that way, and despite the darkness, he continues to walk towards Aviv Shabashmayim. He continues to walk into the outstretched arms of Hashem. He says, "Bevadai, for certain, even the times of darkness when we think our service is worthless, because we're serving robotically during those times, we feel nothing. There's no connection. There's nothing going on. Those days will become the days of greatest pride." Not the days of clarity, not the days of excitement, but the days that we serve despite the fact that we didn't feel connected end up becoming the, what we call in Yiddish, the Cadillac, to be able to serve with the greatest amount of clarity. Those days become the chariot. They become the throne to the higher level that a person is able to ascend to afterwards. Then he says, and there are many forms of this, and very deep forms, as brought in the name of my grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, about what these levels are all about and what they're able to elevate. Then he says as follows. And this is what I heard in the name of the deceased Reb Shol from Mezhbish. I have no idea who this is. I assume he was a Shomer Shabbos kind of guy. Says in the Gemara, you like this Gemara anyway. The Gemara in Baba Metzia says, "Aikiru l'nishaychu kidei detis asru." Respect your wives. Hold your wives precious in order for you to become wealthy. People are looking for schools to become wealthy. Here, this is a Gemara. The Gemara says, honor your wife so that you'll become wealthy.
Can we have the source for that again?
Gemara Baba Metzia 59A.
I wonder, did you practice this on the men?
Yeah,
we learned it inside with the men. But here's what Reb Shol did with the Gemara. I apologize for Reb Shol. Reb Shol says, Nishaychu, right. Nishaychu can mean wives. Nishaychu also means forgetfulness. The Pasuk says, Nishani Alekim, right? That's about Menashe. Yosef named his son Menashe because Hashem forgot. So he says, when a person falls into the days of forgetting, we don't remember, we don't feel anymore. Huh? Hashem made me forget. Nashani alikim, right. So he says, when a person falls into katnus, v'sheicheach b'Hashem, the person forgets about God. I don't feel it anymore. I don't relate anymore. So he says, do not disgrace those days. Don't hold those days in contempt. The days when we don't feel. The days that we can't serve with a geshmak. Because, he says, those days are going to become the source of the wealth. It's those days when one doesn't feel that become the source. Says Reb Shol, that's the meaning of this beautiful pasuk. Shlomo Kalbach has a beautiful melody for it. Even ma'asu habayim haisa l'reish pina. The stone was cast away by the builders, and it ended up being the pinnacle of the building. He says, those days are the days that we forgot, that we think are wastes. We had no motivation, we had no inspiration. Those are nishaychu, those are the days that we forgot. Aikiru, treasure those days, because those days become the source of the wealth. When the Maharnaim discusses this concept, he refers to this as Gadlus Rishon, that the Hashem gives us a flash. He lets us feel something. Then he takes it away. He says, now go get it on your own. There's a katnus that follows. Then there's a gadlus sheni. The gadlus sheni is when we go ahead and get it on our own. Says the Degel Machne Ephraim, Al pi Hashem Yisrael. First Hashem shows us the way, gives us clarity. And then Hashem disappears from the scene. Al pi Hashem Yachna. All of a sudden he disappears. Where is he? Where's my guide? I'm left standing out in the cold without my guide, without any direction. GPS is not getting a signal. So he says, then it's Al pi Hashem Yachna. The person's got to understand that Hashem is doing this by design. Again, using the image of Rebbeinu Shlomo is there holding his arms out for us. He just wants us to get it on our own. He wants us to master it so that it becomes ours, so that we learn how to walk all by ourselves. He says, and therefore the Torah repeats it several times to understand this isn't going to happen once. This is going to take place throughout our lives. And if the Rebbeinu Shlomo didn't believe that we could learn how to walk, he wouldn't do it to us. Every time it happens, we need to see it as a calling from above, saying, go master it on your own. You're ready to take the next step. The Maranayim speaks about it in Sheva Yipo Tzadik Vikam. You know, remember who taught you learn that with? Under the Zalman Shechter. Sheva Yipo Tzadik Vikam. Seven times the Tzadik falls. The Rebbeinu Shlomo pulls, he says, the Rebbeinu Shlomo pulls the rug out. Leaves him stranded. To such a degree, but the Baal Shem Tov said about himself that he was once traveling with a Revolf Kitzis, and they were taken captive by a group of cutthroats, tied up to a tree, and they were about to kill them. And Revolf Kitzis said to the Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, like, now would be a good time for one of those miracles. You know, like, this would be perfect timing, right? You know, like, time to do something. Baal Shem Tov said, I remember nothing. Total blank. I cannot remember anything of my learning, of my madrigas, nothing. So he said to Reb Wolf, remind me of the alphabet. And Reb Wolf began saying, Aleph, Beis, and Baal Shem Tov repeated after him. And then as he said it, he began regaining his thing, and then he, like, he did something, and they got up. But you see that even the greatest of people go through these times of darkness. And the purpose is not that the darkness, the purpose is making it our own. Whoever the gives the interpretation into the Gemara Brachos says as follows. There are two types of people. There are people who are Yirei Shamayim. They fear God because of Shamayim. They fear God because the Rebbeinu Shlomo has absolute clarity in their lives. They see it vividly. They can't sin because it's out in the open. It's as clear as day. And then you have people who are Yegia Chapom. They're people who have to work very hard for it. There's no clarity. It says the Gemara, Godol Hanahene Miyegia Chapoi. A person who benefits, who has pleasure from their hard work, is much greater than the Yirei Shamayim, is much greater than the person who is gifted it from heaven. A person who is gifted it from heaven has it, you know, they have the clarity, but the clarity was not anything that they created, it wasn't anything that they accomplished. In contrast to a Nehenem Yigia Chapoi, a person who benefits because they put in the work to get where they're at, says that person has a much greater benefit. Maybe less clarity, but what they have is their own. And that level of accomplishment is much greater and much more real. It's theirs. So this is a theme that you find throughout the Svarim HaKadoshim, and it's clear that they talk about it because every one of them went through that process. You find it in Parshas Emor, Emor ve'amarta. The pasuk repeats twice the term Emor. Lahazir hagdoilim alaktanim. The Torah comes to warn that the simple interpretation is that the elders should give over this mitzvah to the younger generation. So again, there too, numerous svarim say lahazir hagdoilim alaktanim, that the person, when they're having good days, when they're having clarity, need to make a mark. They need to be conscious of the fact that they need to store away some of that energy for the days of darkness. Lahazir hagdoilim, it comes to warn us about the good days, alaktanim, that you got to preserve, make a mark for yourself. It's not a delusion. It's not, you're not on some kind of substances. This is something which is real. You got to make a mark for yourself so that you have where to draw energy from when things are not going well. Those days are coming in everybody's lives. And we need to be able to garner the strength and the energy and the clarity that we have when things are clear to be able to utilize them when they're not clear. But as far as which are the better days, comes Reb Shaul and says, hold precious these days when we're in the dark, so that you'll become wealthy. Those are the days of true accomplishment. All right.